while on the East Coast for a training event, was able to hop on a plane, fly down to Tampa, Florida, and meet with my guy, Dustin Baker. Dustin's the guy behind BioProtein Technology. If you listen to the show, you heard me talk about his product, BioPro Plus. This is a non-synthetic alternative to human growth hormone. I get a lot of questions about this product in my DMs, messages, and email. This episode is going to clear up all those questions. It'll answer everything and more. You're going to learn a lot about Dustin and kind of where he comes from, the dude behind the product. I needed to meet with this guy face-to-face to have this episode. I've been waiting to do it for a long time, so I was excited to do it. And it was everything I'd hoped it'd be. So there's a lot to unpack here. You're going to learn a lot about hormones. We're going to talk about growth factors. We're going to talk about exercise. We'll talk about sleep. We'll talk about anti-aging, metabolism, libido, your immune system, skin, cognition, sleep and stress management. And of course, the question that everybody wants to answer all the time is that workout and performance and recovery question. So if you've been curious and you want a little bit more, this is the episode. And I'm going to be referencing this episode a lot for all you folks that continue to have questions. So it's not only a story about the product, it's certainly a story about Dustin, lesson in entrepreneurship, and all the cool things they're doing over at BioProtein Tech. Just one more thing I want to let you know before we get this episode started. If you go to bioproteintech.com, when you place your first order, use the code IRONSIGHTS. Again, that's code IRONSIGHTS, and you'll save a few bucks on your order. Welcome to IRONSIGHTS. This podcast candidly seeks to create opportunities and deliver impact by sharing the experiences and wisdom of successful entrepreneurs and thought leaders who unapologetically aim to win in health, fitness, business, and life. I'm your host, Scott Howell. Welcome to Old School Meets New School. Tradition meets innovation, and imperfection meets excellence. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show. Dustin Baker, welcome to the IRONSIGHTS podcast.
Thanks for having me on, Scott.
It's kind of weird when you transition like that after we've been talking for an hour, but it's good to have you here.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, we've been talking for quite some time and, you know, it's weird to be sitting in front of you now.
I feel the same way. Like, it's always good to put the face with the name or the voice and the whole thing when it comes together. And oftentimes, like, I get the question, like, so is the dude the same dude, you know, like, on the other end when you actually meet him in person? You're everything I expected.
Oh, man. Yeah. I hope that's a good thing. It's either really good or really bad. I don't know.
It is. No, it is good. When I talked to you on the phone, there's a bunch of back and forth sort of digitally, but when I originally talked to you on the phone, there's just a really good energy, a really good vibe. And I'm the type of person that is very cautious with that. I'm like, just for real.
I understand.
Yeah. So you get it.
I understand.
So, very good kind of sitting down with you. We were able to have dinner last night, kind of catch up and find out a little bit more about you. And I'm anxious to talk about that today, about you.
The dinner? How was your steak?
The steak was outstanding.
It was good, huh? Yeah, it's very consistent, I know.
I haven't had a filet mignon in quite some time.
Okay.
And that was delicious. So
bone-in filet.
Yeah, the bone-in, to be specific.
Better. It's perfect.
Yeah. It was good. It was just the right amount. It was excellent. It was good. Good time, good talk.
I had a great time. I appreciate you coming out.
Thanks for the dinner. I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Yeah, so coming out, here we are. We're in Tampa, Florida. I'm coming off of a road trip to do some distance rifle shooting with some buddies over in Georgia. You were too close not to try and come down here and finally meet in person. And the impetus for that is I've been using your product for quite some time. So I'm gonna have you talk a little bit about that to kind of start so people know where this is kind of going. And it's helped me tremendously. And as a result, it's also helped a lot of other people that I know tremendously. So I wanted to get more behind the dude, behind the product, because I'm one of those guys who really wants to know who I'm getting my stuff from.
Sure.
And while I already kind of had a relationship with you, this kind of, you know, this really solidifies it. And part of the podcast is spreading the message to other people on the things that they can do to help themselves in all kinds of different ways. So whether it's health, fitness, wellness, on the preparedness side and the things we do kind of on that side of the house, I get to have these really cool, insightful, meaningful conversations with people that I get to then kind of broadcast to everybody else. That's how the podcast got started. And the feedback that I get on, you know, stuff from like the audience. And the podcast is a weird game.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to get like real-time feedback. You can read metrics and whatever, but unless you're in front of the people, you don't know.
Sure.
And the ones I get the most of are really on, like, the person that you interviewed has really helped me
whoever that person was, you know, and whatever it was, their product or their service or something like that. And it was really great to hear and see another side of them. It just solidified things that I felt like I kind of knew, but this really just made it, you know, it sent
okay,
it home.
Okay, good. I hope
so. I'm totally in.
Hopefully it ends well too.
Yeah. So here we are. We're in one of those situations where we could talk about you. So I'm going to shut up a little bit. Just like briefly tell us who you are, you know, tell us a little bit about the company and then we can expand into that a little bit.
Okay. You know, it's a big question, but my name is Dustin Baker. I'm president of a company called Bioprotein Technology. Bioprotein Technology makes the product BioPro Plus, which is kind of how people know about us, right? BioPro Plus is a non-synthetic alternative to prescription human growth hormone and peptide treatments. So we make those products here in Tampa. We distribute them all over the world. I mean, we've been shipping to over 40 different countries now. And we're on every continent other than Antarctica. It's been a pretty wild.
Wow.
Yes, technically, yes. It's been a pretty wild ride. And it's all, the company Bioprotein Technology has been around since 2009. However, myself and my team acquired it in 2018. So BioPro Plus came about 2021. So 2021 was really when the company, you know, got its stronghold on what we do. And it's been a pretty wild ride. I mean, we're at the beginning of 2024 and, you know, we've done what we have so far. And it's just very exciting time in the brand's history, I will say. And hopefully we can continue to keep making that happen.
Well, I'll be honest that that timing makes a lot of sense, but it's in terms of how I found out about you and the sort of the connection we made, because we connected after I knew about you and kind of knew about the product, but I only knew about it just sort of from some of the people I had seen talking about it a little bit. And right away I was like, I get where this is going. I want to know a little bit more about it. So I was talking to people, not you, about that first. Yeah. And then ultimately we got connected and I talked to you about it. And you confirmed and validated some things that I thought this was about. And I want to talk to the audience about this a little bit in terms of, so they have a better understanding. Because I understand how human physiology works. I understand a bit about hormones. I understand about growth factors. I understand about how the body does certain things at certain times, maybe in a person's life, particularly in males' lives. And something I was obviously very interested in. I'm 49 now. And I wanted to know it better and ultimately give it a try. And when I gave it a try, I was like, okay, there's something to this. And it's tough because when you talk to other people, like, well, where can I find out more? Well, you have to have a large understanding of kind of all of the concepts. Otherwise, you're going to dip into a rabbit hole.
Sure.
You're going to be talking about a lot of different things that if you don't have a stranglehold or a good hold on that, you can get lost and it can sound and look very weird. And I think there's a danger in other people trying to explain it that don't really understand it, because that can lead to confusion and like a misguided sort of approach to understanding it better anyhow. So
I think that's a lot with anything though, right?
Like agreed.
Anything that has a little bit of depth to it and it's, you start to tap into whether it's mechanics, like even, you know, auto engines, right? You can't just go and look at something and you not understand how, you know, valves and pistons and work and how they connect through the transmission, like how you're actually generating power and then transferring it to the wheels of an automobile. It would be the exact same thing with human physiology, of understanding the components that go into it and then how that, you know, let's just use the same analogy as getting traction, right? Traction in your body from a physiological standpoint. So just jumping in and doing broad range searches is a great place to start, but you have to understand or at least have a general foundation and grasp of the entirety of the situation. And then it starts to make a lot more sense. But I don't believe that's indicative specifically of us. I think that's anything that has to do with the kind of world that we play in.
Particularly now, you know, and sure. It's not an issue of not having enough information, right?
It's almost too much information. I was asked the other day, I was on some like business radio show thing. And they're like, what's the piece of technology you wish would exist now or something like that? And I was like, I wish it didn't. I wish we had less, and for a plethora of different reasons, but it's almost so much that it could be at a detriment. We talked about earlier, like of actual human beings doing producing of things and not, you know, funny business
ideas.
You know, have a value placed on them by the individual holding them, not necessarily an actual value in let's just say the economy or society at large, but
something tangible.
Yeah. So I wish there was sometimes less technology, right? I think it would save us from a lot of our own, you know, problems. But
At the same time, you've harnessed a lot of that technology to do the things that you've done with your company.
Yes, that's true. I would agree with you. Yes, technology has been one of our largest assets. I'm literally saying the exact same opposite I just said, but it, you know, my, I do hold strong in my beliefs, but yes, technology has been a huge benefit to us. I will tell you that I fought a lot of that technology tooth and nail, like, if that's the expression. And, you know, I succumbed to some of it, and a lot of it has worked to our benefit, either by accident or by implementation. But yes, it has helped us quite a bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. I, just going back to the lack of depth of knowledge, making decisions on, or even belief systems based on a limited scope of understanding. I think people that listen to the show, that'll resonate with them. And when we talk about whether it's fitness or health, or we get into, you know, firearms or equipment, gear they might be buying or whatever else, they get an idea maybe from somebody about something they hear their kind of their take on, and they go, oh, that sounds like the right thing for me. And then they make a $600 mistake, you know,
or if you're lucky, realize it was only $600.
Yeah, you realize later. Yeah, exactly. So let's take a little side trip.
Okay.
Let's talk about you.
Okay.
And then let's come back to the company.
Okay.
But help me understand just kind of who you are, where you came from, how you wound up in kind of that chair today.
Okay. Well, man, I hope you're, hope everybody's hanging on for a riveting story, but I'm just a normal guy. I grew up in a, I grew up right here in Tampa. I was the product of a single parent household. I was raised by my mom and my grandma, and I had two siblings. And why I kind of tell this story from that point of view is because now looking back, I think it really shaped decisions I would make later in life. Really good decisions and really poor decisions, which then led, you know, to where we are today. So being raised in a, like a single parent household, single mom, you know, working however many hours a week, I was basically raised by her and my grandma. The focus of that, you know, relationship and that family was just to put food on the table. Right? To just have enough gas to, for my mom to get us to school and for her to get to work. I mean, we look back and we joked because I loved scratch offs back then. There was like a first and 10 scratch off. And like, I would win a lot. And it was, we look back and like, I didn't keep the money. It was somehow, and I truly believe it was God's intervention, but somehow it was always just enough money to keep gas in the car and like get us to school and get us, my mom to work. And my mom killed herself to send us to very good, very high level schools, honestly. So, in that relationship, the least thing on our minds was things like health, nutrition, because there was no education. And I think we see that now today, it's gotten worse and worse. You have, you know, an epidemic of childhood obesity. And I was one of those kids. I, eighth grade, I was like super fat. I tell this story all the time. I got off the plane one time to go see my dad, because he lived, you know, far away. He didn't recognize me. Because I was like so fat, right? I was like 5'3", 220, like big, redheaded, like puffy kid. So poor habits and bad, you know, or lack of information as a child leads to worse habits as adults. So though the, you know, the being a chunky kid didn't follow me through my life, I grew up a little bit, it still had poor habits in, you know, eating, smoking, drinking, you know, that leads to college, which can get wildly awry, which it absolutely did. So I, by the time I was in my early 20s, I mean, I made this joke the other, like last night, I paid for college. I never actually went. I barely even graduated high school. I like to say I can barely read or write, let alone spend my, you know, spell my own name, but I made it out. And I didn't have anything. I had zero purpose. I had zero idea what I was going to do in my life. I didn't know anything. I just existed. And it was a poor existence at that. So one day, one of my buddies was kind of like, hey man, why don't you not just basically be a waste of space today? And he was really into fitness, working out. His name's Mike, by the way. I'll send this to Mike later. I always like to give credit where credit is due. And he said, hey, let's go to the gym today. Just come work out with me. I was like, you know what? Okay. And it was a basement gym. And we did like just a normal like thing. It was like chest and tries workout, ran on a treadmill a little bit. But little did I know that was like the start of this whole snowball of health, wellness, fitness. And I had a lot of time on my hands. And I really loved what we did that day. And I did everything I could from that point forward to learn about human performance, food, stuff like that, starting in the same thing, right? Internet forums, blah, 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 trying different things, testing different things, which led me to a performance gym that I was working out at. And at that point I had a job. So I, you know, I could make some cash, but it was an expensive gym payment. And it was $180 a month.
Okay.
And that gym was in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So at that point, I had moved to Grand Rapids to get away from the poor decisions I was making here in Florida. And so I was working out every day. I'd already been doing some fitness stuff. And I lost my job. And I couldn't afford the gym membership anymore. So I went to the owner of that gym. I don't think we've ever even said any words together. This is several months in. And I said, his name was Joe. And I said, hey, Joe, I can't afford to pay you anymore. But I'm willing to take out your garbage. Like, I'll clean your equipment. Like, just tell me what you want me to do. I'll work for free. I don't want to lose the gym. Because mm-hmm. It was a really awesome, cool gym. It was a performance human performance gym, Olympic lifting, CrossFit. I mean, this cool guy was writing programs for colleges, college basketball, like all this cool stuff. He was just one of those brilliant minds. He was a ex-Olympic decathlete. And I believe he trained for Beijing and Athens. And so he understood, like, you don't typically get like those minds, like access to that. You get like weightlifting, or you get, you know, guys who are training for Ironmans, you know, they're special, but a decathlete knows everything. And so he just had this thing about him where I was like, I want to learn from this guy. And what I realized was I wouldn't even get out of bed before noon, normally, right? I was at this guy's gym at 7 a.m. for free. Right? Cleaning stuff. I didn't clean a toilet like as a kid. Come on, dude. Like and I wasn't even getting paid. You couldn't pay me back then. Now I'm doing it for free. Mm. So I was cleaning toilets. I was cleaning barbells. He started teaching me how to fix equipment. Okay. Eventually he started teaching me like how to weld, which again, my dad's not a bad guy, but he wasn't really in our picture, right? I was raised very separate from him, thousands of miles away. So I didn't have that father experience teaching me cool stuff, whatever. Mm. This guy was teaching me how to weld. He was teaching me how to build like plyo boxes because he was like an engineering type mind and would build these things. Little did I know now looking back, everybody's now familiar with like the air assault bikes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, before air assault bikes, you had the gold Schwinn Airdynes.
Yeah.
Okay. So this guy, before all the air bikes ever existed, you just had the Airdynes. We would drive over and find them in people's like basements and garages and refix them.
Collecting stuff, yes. Collecting dust and clothes. Yeah.
But what he did was and nobody else did this before, he figured out a way to basically take like a cycling motor, like a measuring system, mm-hmm. and he would connect them to the bike. So we'd teach him how to do that. We'd hook it all up. Then so we could actually quantify the work being done on an Airdyne, which didn't exist. It was just like an RPM meter.
Okay.
And then also how I learned to weld was we started welding wheels on the front so you could move the Airdynes because they didn't have that. They just had the rubber feet.
Yeah.
Now look at it. Now they're air bikes, right? Like he was way, now he didn't create the air bike.
But what I'm saying is
like he was way ahead of the game with this stuff. So while we were training for human performance, he was using Airdynes, but they were quantifiable. Like, so he was way ahead. So I was learning how to do really cool stuff. Now I was still living in basements, like sleeping with spiders. You know, I couldn't even afford my cell phone bill, like anything, but I was living the life. To me.
To you.
One day he gave me like $250. And I was like, whoa, people will pay you for this. Like, I can make a living doing this. And then all bets were off. I was completely in and I started to learn everything I could about, you know, marketing. And,
oh, the business
and
end.
The business end of the fitness business or even just business in general. And I was to him, I was like, man, we could, you know, there's real estate over here. I think it would be good here. Here's the good populace where, you know, we could meet. And I was going that route. And he wasn't going that route. And I got to survive.
Right.
And one thing leads to another, and it's still great to this day.
He just wants to coach people.
Yeah. He doesn't care.
He likes his thing.
He makes, you know, a couple bucks doing his thing. He writes his programs. He gets to hide out, lock himself in his office, and do what he loves to do. I want to bring what he does to everyone.
Right.
Right? That's what I want to do. And so I couldn't do it anymore. I mean, I didn't have any money. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but you know, we used to, they have the self checkouts and like, just to have enough food, like you would self checkout, but weigh everything as sweet potatoes. Cause it was the only way we are going to eat. I should probably write a check to those grocery companies just as like, reparation.
Hey, but, they put those things in.
They kept me alive. Yeah. I will be honest with you. Somehow I was always fed. Mm-hmm. So I just forgot about that until this very moment. So anyway, I ended up having to move back to Florida because I needed to work. I went to work for my stepdad who was in the tech business, like nothing too cool, like computer security, local business type
software.
Stuff. Yeah. Software stuff and reseller of software. So I sold software for a little bit. Didn't work out. Did not a good relationship. Didn't work out. You know, working for family is just something I'm not a big fan of even to this day. So, didn't work out. And I went back to serving tables. The third day I was waiting tables, maybe the second day, I met this guy who owned a gym. And I was like, okay, hit it off with him. I was like, hey, do you guys have any openings here? And he's like, I don't know, come down and talk. So I went down, I sat, I waited for this guy for like an hour because he wasn't even there. Like he didn't show up or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just waited. He finally shows up. I'm like, hey, here's the deal. I want to work out here. I want a job here. I'll clean your toilets. I'll take out your garbage.
Fix your equipment.
Whatever you got to do. I know how to do this. He paid me, I think he was giving me $15 an hour. And I was like, whoa. I'm rich, like $15 an hour, got started. And within, I think that was in like a January or February, maybe March. And by October I was running his gym. So he had given me the ability to put in some of the principles that I had worked out mm-hmm. previously from a sales perspective, you know, a business perspective, because he wanted to disappear. Great. I totally understand that. And
the opposite of the guy he was working with.
Yes. And so that was my shot, my opportunity. And that's exactly what it was. So did that. The gym was for its space, very successful. And during that, some people had taken notice, a couple different groups, and I had interest from individuals who were working out there.
Okay.
Because it was a, I use the word affluent, but it was a higher, you know, it was a higher income area. There were individuals mm-hmm. in there, professionals, business owners, entrepreneurs, et cetera, you know, that saw something of me and they wanted involvement and take it to the next level.
This is not uncommon in the gym environment. Like, cause you have that type of whether it's that demographic or not, that demographic, like in the larger sense,
yeah.
Those people will find you, right? When you're that person. The same thing happened to me. They just recognize something's different here and there's a person behind this. And if they're a business owner or they're, you know, a business manager of some kind, you know, they're managing assets for even somebody else, they recognize like that's somebody I want on my team, but they don't have maybe the qualifications to be on my team, but whatever he's into, I'm into it because he can make change. He's producing, like they're seeing changes in the equipment's fixed. There's more members here. There's a better attitude. Things seem to be more organized, you know, all that kind of stuff.
That's exactly what it was.
They will find, I think, people that have been in the gym business.
Especially the gym business, because as you know, like it's a business of passion. And this is what Joe, my original mentor, taught me is like, if you want to be in this business, you have to love every single part of it because it ain't a lot of different businesses. You got to love it. You got to be there. It's like, it's a grind mm-hmm. to make a real living. So
The people I know that did this, like when I was working sort of in the bigger, you know, for the bigger company, when that kind of thing imploded and it fell apart, the people that were really successful in that gym business are thriving today in all sorts of different businesses, whether it's real estate, sales, plumbing, you know, whatever
probably
else.
Probably because it seems easier to them.
Yeah, that's just it. They're like, this is fucking like, great.
This is how you guys are doing this. I did this completely wrong.
I'm not working 16 hours a day. Like, you know, like this is great, you know, kind of thing. But they don't feel like they're working 16 hours a day is my point. Like they're just like, hey, I'm just doing my thing. And when I do things, I make money doing it. And that affords me this really cool lifestyle. And it's way easier than
cleaning toilets. It's not 5 a.m. till 10 p.m.
Right.
With your break for an hour and a half at like 3 o'clock.
Sleeping on a cot in the back. Yeah.
So everything's easy, you know, from that. Everybody should have to go into fitness or serving food for like, you know,
I don't disagree.
Predestined. Yeah. It's part of college or wherever you're going to school. Like that's a thing.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Anyhow.
So, I had some interest in these people. Anyway, I had two groups. One group wanted me to buy the gym we were in. I was working on that deal. It was a group of several different gentlemen. And then a woman came in and she was like, hey, get rid of them. I want it all. Let's go do this. And I was like, well, that sounds pretty great. You know, she came in. It was a little bit more higher profile, flashier type thing. And as a, you know, a 29, 30 year old, I was like, oh, that
looks pretty
really
good.
Cool, dude. Yeah. I don't know. I would love that. So, I decided to go that route at that exact same time because there's development process in that. So I decided to partner up with her. But during that time, the deal of me acquiring that gym fell through. We couldn't agree on some numbers.
You take the deal.
Small businesses are difficult acquisitions because many times it's an emotional thing. It's a the owner,
they don't want to let go.
It's not, yeah. And I think there's a lot of overvalue that happens there because of the emotional attachment to that. And that just is what it is in small businesses, right? It's a sweat equity thing. It doesn't always add up to equal a valuation that makes sense for someone who's acquiring the company. So we couldn't, there was immediate friction there. You know, he handed me numbers on a beverage napkin. I had gone out and gotten like an actual valuation done. And let's just say they were miles apart. And so didn't work out. And at that exact moment, I got picked up by a national franchise, D1 Sports Training, who does, they're a national franchise who specializes in sports training, whether it's for kids through athletes. And
it's like human performance, athletic development for whatever specific sport you're in.
Correct.
You can get that specialized training.
Yeah. And I did sales and marketing for them. I headed up their faction here in Tampa, which was a football hub. So it was a lot of college prep, a lot of combine prep for guys who were getting potentially picked up by the NFL, and then a lot of off-season training.
Okay.
CFL specifically, Canadian football, NFL, all that kind of noise. So for a guy that never took a snap in life, I've never played a down of organized football. It was really cool. It was interesting. I got to train with those guys. It was awesome. But I learned a lot more from the franchising perspective of how things are done, how not to do things. Was very... we had some really good success from coming in there, retooling their systems. It was a great opportunity, but during that time, I was kind of learning what was going on so I could open up my own facility. So by the time I was leaving D1, actually when I was leaving, the owner offered me a very fair share of equity to hey, just like stay, passed on it, said, hey, this ain't for me. I want to do this. And so that facility was the facility I was creating was, I thought I was going to be really cool and skip all the hard work. So,
you've arrived. You figured
it out. Yeah, I figured it out, dude. Somebody gave me a couple bucks and I'm killing it now. So send me I was waiting for Forbes to knock on my door and, you know, waiting for billboards with my face on it. None of those happen with that business. And, launched that, did all that, built it out. It was a disaster from day one. But we thought we were going to take on, you know, the Orange Theories of the world. And if you got to bleep any of these names out for, you know, protection purposes.
We will not be doing that.
So we were going to take on the big guys. It was an organized small class group fitness type thing. Beautiful. I mean, this is where we went wrong. I mean, we spent, you know, $14,000, I think, on the front counter.
Too
much
up front.
The toilets were $1,500 a piece. Like, right. I didn't know what I was doing. And the parties involved, you know, there was designers and all of this like high society stuff, which I thought was super cool at the time.
If you build it, they will come.
Yeah. And like, and they didn't, but also we are so in over our heads with the city and building permits and things just kept going wrong that, you know, it was... we did it so wrong from a like all the things I thought I wanted to do from a marketing perspective and stuff, I didn't actually get to implement there because of it was a plethora of outside agencies and all this cool stuff. And it was basically came down to me just running the classes, cleaning floors from like 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. And it's like, it wasn't it. It looked really cool, but it was a massive failure and disaster.
Okay.
But that was my business partner now will say, man, I'm glad it happened with them and not me because you got, you know, basically a master's in business from the streets in 8 months instead of, you know, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So looking back, it played out wildly well for, I think, both of us. But the reason why I kind of go through that whole story is because between all of those different business ventures, whether it was D1 and football, whether it was our own fitness facility, which the populace was, you know, realistically 35 to 55 years old. Mm-hmm. So a midlife type environment, even from the, you know, the gym I took over, when I first came back to Tampa, same populace, 28, 55 years old, there was always like these formulas and these products that we were implementing within each one of those business ventures. And they were from a small company here in Tampa. I would consider them a regional company. They had their products in some stores and stuff like that, but it wasn't much, right? You had to know that they existed and someone probably introduced you to them because it didn't, you know, there was no real business or output or anything like that. But the products were phenomenal. And they worked from, you know, pro athletes through your midlife type stuff.
That demo you just mentioned.
So they worked all the way throughout. I mean, with a lot of the failures in business, those things never failed. Those things always, and people would come back and want more and more and more. So I private labeled them for businesses. Like I did all these things and that was always really consistent. And when that gym that I had opened, that relationship that I basically walked away from, signed over equity and just said, you can just have it. You knock yourself out, walked out on the streets, sold everything I had to, you know, to pay my car payment. One of my mentors from the original group who had stayed a mentor and a friend throughout that process, he was always just like, let me know. I want the next stab, basically. Like, let me know the next project. And he was actually one of the first people I called when the gym was imploding. Not like, what's my project? It was like, hey, what am I going to do? Like, right. How do I survive this so I don't pay for this for the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. So he was always very, you know, part of that. And I'm very lucky to have the group of guys that were around me that were always mentors and now like really good best friends, which is awesome. Without them, I would have never been able to do any of this stuff. So call him. Hey, I want to do like, I think there's an opportunity here to make a play for this company because you just, you know, if I can smell blood in the water sometimes. And I think I'm not really that great at stuff. I think the only thing I am good at is I can identify opportunities and I'm dumb enough to always take a, you know, stab at them, right? I just can identify, I feel like when an opportunity is there and I'm dumb enough to just do it. I call it, you know, willfully numb and dumb. Numb to the pain I know that it's going to incur and dumb enough to try things maybe other people aren't willing to do. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we went in there and it was exactly that. The company was basically falling apart from a managerial perspective. The products were still being good. Come to find out, I mean, they needed to be done a 10 times better, but the company was in a standpoint where they basically needed cash, right? The guy was willing to take whatever and clean up whatever he had done. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we did. We went in, we came to a deal and we had a full acquisition, paper signed, everything back and forth in less than 3 weeks. So that was on November 1st of 2018. So when people were like, how did you get into this space? It kind of actually like chose me slowly through the entire process. But what it gave me was where I could only affect human beings from my own personal time. And I think you can relate to this. Mm-hmm. Like you only have so many human man hours you can spend with someone.
It's tough to scale.
Right. You only have so much time. And if it's you, what are you going to do?
Right.
You're not scalable. No matter how cool you think you are, you're not. So what these products did was they served the exact same purpose that I was already really bought into and very passionate about, which was typically the male over the age of 35 wakes up one day. And this is how I made my money in the gym business, right? Wakes up one day and was same. Like, yo, I'm not who I used to be. Mm-hmm. I'm not who I look like in the mirror. I don't even recognize this guy. They're typically either going through some sort of it's never really work, I don't think, but there's typically stress or friction within their relationships with their families. They're either just getting divorced, got divorced,
their wife
wakes up and realizes they're not the person they were either. And so like, as a man, you spend your whole life building a business, building a family, providing for these people. You forget about yourself. You wake up, you look in the mirror and you're like, what happened to me? Mm-hmm. And that was who I served and what I cared about in the fitness business. And that's how I built gyms. And with this brand, I could serve the exact same purpose, but I could do it everywhere. And that's what we have done. And that's what we've aimed to do. And that's, I believe, we are doing now. And I can only hope that we can continue in this. And you know, it went from, you know, a gym here in Tampa to, I mean, I remember one guy, I used to run all the social media myself. So like I would get messages and stuff and I farmed it out a few times and it was always a disaster. Yep. Now we have a really great team that, you know, handles that stuff. And it's really good because they actually, you know, I get more compliments now about it since,
I did last night.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, it looks really good. What are you doing? I'm like, I just hired the right dude. It's not me. I hired the right guy. But I would get messages I remember getting this message from this guy and he's like, man, because we have a very, you know, we're a business and I like protocol and I like being very consistent, right? That's why the restaurant's really good. It's super consistent. Unconsistent restaurants fail. Consistency is everything. Whether you're a small business or a gigantic business, brand consistency is everything. So when someone would message on the, you know, in our DMs or on the website or whatever, it would be, you know, I follow and hit A, B, X, Y, whatever. And he's like, man, if this guy goes, and this is through a DM, if this was as good as you said it is, then everybody in the world would know about it. I go, where are you at? Cairo, Egypt. I go, buddy, you're messaging me from Cairo. Clearly, you know, this is done exactly. You know, it has made it everywhere. And that was a really big moment for me is I used to have to wait till people walked into a gym or go to like an event and go sit outside of like a running expo, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or something like that. And hope I could talk to somebody and convince them of, you know, bettering themselves or whatever. And now it's the product line and the business has given me the opportunity to take that Dustin that was in front of that booth at a 5K and be able to spread it across different, very specific communities that I personally connect with that I participate in as well. So it makes it very fun. It makes life and business, not that it's not hard work, but I will tell you that as much as I love the gym business and going through that, I did not like cleaning floors and toilets at 10 PM. I'd rather be doing, I'd rather be doing this. And I get, I mean, you've seen the, like the testimonials, what people have said, and to me, it's still mind blowing that like it can change lives that much. It's really awesome. And getting that has been more rewarding, I think, than my previous experience.
Yeah. I think you go back to the 35-ish somebody, particularly the male who's at that point in their life where they're looking at things going, wait, what have I done? Or what am I doing? And feeling fulfilled is something that they don't feel. And they can't quite put their finger on what it's going to take in order for that to happen for them. And so they start grasping or choosing things, you know, that they think might do that. Sometimes those are poor behaviors that end relationships or foul up relationships or whatever. Maybe it's drinking. Maybe it's going all in on their fitness. If I just do this, I'll feel better. And there's certainly, I think you can get a lot more benefit out of that than hitting the bottle.
Sure.
But at the same time, they're grasping. But the thing is they don't quite know what it is. So what's interesting is when you kind of find it, and you've done it for a while, you may not even realize it's fulfilling you in the way that you are until maybe it gets taken away from you. And I think this actually goes to the product here in a second, but let's talk about the product itself.
Okay.
Again, this is where let's go through this kind of one step at a time.
Yes.
What is BioPro?
It's a non-synthetic alternative to prescription human growth hormone and peptide treatments.
Right. So that is the 10-second or 5-second thing. Okay. So a non-prescription.
Correct.
Non-synthetic.
Yes.
Alternative to prescription growth hormone and
peptides.
And peptides.
Yep.
So the first thing we have to understand is, okay, so with that, when you say it's non-synthetic, that means it's not created in a lab.
It is a naturally occurring substance that we formulate into a product that your body can actually use.
Cool.
That's molecularly identical to what your body uses.
And the way it's being delivered, right, is interesting to people. Like, what is this little, it's the little brown tube with the cap on it. Like, what's that about?
So we are not big believers in pills, capsules, stuff like that. The digestive system is designed to break materials down. And it's not to say that you can't absorb things. There's words like liposomal and all these things that people put on products. And it's not that you can't absorb things through the lining of your stomach or your esophagus. It's just not the most ideal way to get something into your bloodstream. You want to avoid the digestive tract. Well, there's a few ways to do that.
Right.
People now clearly are very familiar with the injection route. You inject things, what would be these types of products would be subcutaneously into the skin, right? Or you
peptides.
Inject them. Peptides, growth hormone is injected sub-Q. Different other hormone treatments they call it sub-Q, subcutaneously. Then you have nasal sprays. Nasal sprays are great. Very similar to what we do, but a little bit more direct. And then you also have, some people's favorite, not mine, but you have suppository, which is going into your rectum, right? So it can be absorbed directly because here's the thing, that same tissue in your rectum is very similar to the tissue within your mouth. So we use what's called a sublingual delivery system, which the product sits under your tongue, you shake it up just to make sure that's an even solution because it does settle. There's raw material within that solution.
Yep.
So we shake it up, activate it, pour it under your tongue. It will express the blood vessels in your mouth, the same blood vessels that exist in your nasal passages and in your rectum and stuff like that. So you can absorb as much as you possibly can directly into the bloodstream. There will be some liquid left over. You swallow whatever's left. Awesome. The reason why we do that is our entire brand doesn't believe in, and we don't do injections. nasal spray to keep this product clean and to keep it preserved and to make it effective, you could probably do that. I'm telling you not to. Okay?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to try that.
You could do it. It would be excruciating. I mean, some people might be into that. People are into weird stuff, but it would be painful. And nasal sprays, I think, are cool, but you also have to use a lot of different materials for the packaging and different things like that that we don't necessarily want to use. Okay? So that's a whole nother conversation. So we also don't make suppositories. I don't even know how to make those. I mean, we don't have the equipment. I don't even know what would go into that.
I don't think you'd be selling as much product if that's what it was.
It seems like there's a lot of risk involved in something like that, right? Yep. So sublingual is perfect. Sublingual is the best method that we can use that is, we can do a high rate of output of manufacturing. It stays stable for 2 years. It's easily accessible. It doesn't get messed up that often. And it works really well, all things considered.
So talk to me a little bit about hormones, just in like, what do you think people need to kind of understand about growth hormone versus like sex hormones and how this product interplays with the body in order to do things better?
So one of the number one questions we always get all the time is like, hey, is this like TRT or testosterone, whatever? Now, testosterone is awesome. Okay. Testosterone is a dominant hormone in men. It's still prevalent in women, but the master hormone for both men and women is growth hormone. Okay, so we focus in the growth hormone space. Growth hormone is a master hormone for metabolic function, wound healing, muscle development, muscle strength, muscle preservation, insulin resistance, how your body uses insulin, oxygen, even oxygen potency in the blood, which relates to sexual function, all that kind of stuff. We're all focused on testosterone these days, especially as men, because that's heavily marketed. It's a cheap, you know, all things considered.
It's very accessible. Very accessible, very cheap.
We're in Florida. I promise you, we can go out to the terrace right now and we can probably, number one, spot three different TRT billboards or hormone billboards. And two, we could probably hit with a rock 10 different clinics that are cash pay. You're going to have a Starbucks, a McDonald's, and a TRT clinic.
That's Florida's awesome about that.
Yeah. So everybody knows about testosterone, which is awesome. But what a lesser known fact is that in order to absorb testosterone, whether it be natural or synthetic, you have to have adequate growth hormone, specifically its end result growth factors. And that's a settled science. That is not, you know, hearsay, right? The insulin-like growth factor number one is necessary for the maximum absorption of testosterone. So if you're only looking at things from a testosterone perspective and you're not looking at things from an entire picture, you might not either be getting the effects of a synthetic treatment that you might be getting, or your testosterone might be low, not necessarily because of the testosterone, but your body's ability to even absorb what you're creating.
Right.
So we focus on the growth factor in the growth hormone space, which, I mean, growth hormone decreases. As soon as you finish puberty, growth hormone goes down. It's typically 1% to 2% per year. In extreme or rarer cases, it could be up to 50% by 35. But that the mathematics is exactly why typically guys wake up 40, 41, 42, 43, 44 years old. They're like, oh, dude, I don't look like I used to. I don't feel like I used to. I don't have the energy. I don't have the sex. Well, you know, it's all of this hormonal decline. And that's the game that we play in.
So it may not even be that you're low in testosterone. It just might be you're...
Potentially, yes.
You could be. Yep. But may not be that you're there. You're whatever that level is I think dependent on the person, right?
Yeah.
So, but the reason I may not be as effective at using it is because I don't have these growth factors.
Correct.
So talk a little bit more about the growth factors and how that interplay works.
So growth hormone is secreted by the pituitary gland in the brain. Okay. So it gets squeezed out. It's just what people have to understand about hormones is that all they are is chemical catalysts. Okay. They're a chemical that is going, it's a catalyst which is going to some sort of a change. It's spurring some sort of a change in the body. Now, before the body ever uses like growth hormone, it has to be converted by the liver into what we just talked about, which are called growth factors. Okay, so growth hormone goes to the liver. Liver converts them into growth factors, which are the real honest and very simple. They're just proteins. So they get created into complete amino acid profiles. They're called protein cytokines. And protein cytokines are cell signals. So the purpose of the hormone is simply to create cell signals that get sent out into your blood that trigger your cells to do things. So if you want to grow muscle, cells have to, they do what's called multiplication and differentiation. So when cells grow, they don't necessarily grow in size. They can, but they multiply. So it, to trigger that multiplication, you have to have a growth factor. That's IGF-1. So IGF-1 gets sent out into the blood. It triggers your cells, like your muscle cell, to actually split into grow. It's not testosterone. Or if you're in your skin, if you're a gal and you're worried about your skin, you know, sagging, well, guess what? You have collagen cells in your skin. You have fibroblasts that are keeping your skin plump. Well, as those hormones go down, the growth factors that are being created to trigger those cellular functions go down with it. Mm-hmm. That's why your skin starts to sag. That's why your muscle, you don't have as much maybe as you used to with doing the same workouts. The triggers that your body is supposed to be creating are not as prevalent anymore. So cells begin to die off. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the triggers to replicate the cells as fast as the die-off is occurring, that is aging. That is the degradation and the decline of the human body, which is why lean muscle mass goes down, energy goes down, sexual function goes down, your skin starts to sag, like you have this, you know, red line on a graph that starts to just drop.
So this is the key, and I think for me, this is the big key takeaway, is understanding that part of it. So when I hear people, when people ask me, so dude, does it work? Like, what are they asking me? Like, there's a lot of pieces to that question. You just explained quite a bit of it. Well, there's a lot of things going on. Sure. And does it work? I think it's more of the question is like, how did you get it all into the bottle?
So, you know, they're not huge, you know, pieces, but it's a 1 ml solution. I mean, that's actually quite a lot of liquid for what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So if you understand the business, or you understand medical products, or even, you know, some of these dietary supplements that are out there, and how much, you know, 1 ml potentially is for a dose, it's actually quite a lot. So it's quite a lot of liquid for what we're doing. Mm-hmm. It has to be a very specific ratio to add the milligrams of the growth factor extracts that we're doing into that liquid for you to put it in. That's why there's typically some left over you have to swallow.
So talk to me about like who's using this stuff.
A lot of people are using it. But our most popular customers, and I hate saying customers, most popular, you know, individuals, users, patients that do this product. We have two sides of the business. Yeah. We have always been a physician business. So before BioPro ever even existed, we have 10 years of only selling, because we actually own, and we don't necessarily make them all anymore, but we own close to 30 different formulas, whether they're, you know, weight loss formulas or lipotropics or vitamin formulas, hydration stuff. We own all these, you know, it's part of the IP of what we purchased. And we've sold those, we call them legacy products, but we've sold them in the clinical space for a decade. So we have an entire clinical space who's pretty much really got onto the whole BioPro thing, because it kind of blew everything else out of the water. It's also the most evolved of what we've ever created. We have our clinicians who are physicians. They're DOs, MDs, they're PAs, PACs, NPs, who sell these products in their clinics. Because like we're talking about TRT, that is a cash pay business. That is not an insurance business. You go in, you pay cash, you buy stuff like anywhere else. BioPro sits right on their shelf, or it goes right in with their other therapies, mm-hmm. and it gets provided via the clinic, the physician, to their patients. So those are our number one customers. And then you have, when we kind of made our switch was mm-hmm. providing these products direct during the, you know, the whole COVID thing, mm-hmm. which is the big switch we had to make was, mm-hmm. You know, the clinics were shutting down and they, you know, they were,
you're not getting orders anymore.
Our hotspots were all the areas that were really affected by lockdowns and changes of, policy. Right? LA, you know, Southern California is our mm-hmm. biggest market. Southern California, New York, Las Vegas, these are all places. San Francisco used to be, not so much anymore. These are all places that are directly affected and were shut down. So when people were no longer allowed to go into the clinics, cash-based stuff, everybody was losing money. Right. So we flipped, and there's an interesting story to that of, you know, how we got into the internet business, but we flipped and figured out during that process of keeping the lights on, you know, I had to learn how to do business on the internet. So we made some investments in building the functionality to provide the products direct to the patient. We had the physicians involved. We did all kind of this cool stuff. And then it kind of took on a life of its own. And it went from, we were still, I would consider a small company at that point, just with a really cool product. And that's when the graph started to kind of shoot up, was people started finding this stuff of communities I hadn't actually ever been involved in. And it happened like on its own. In fact, I fought some of it for a while.
How do you mean?
So like certain individuals got a hold of our products that they did very well. I mean, they work, right? They work for people. So you start getting messages from interesting individuals who you never had any connection with. One of those individuals being, we talked about, was Greg Anderson.
Yep.
Greg Anderson is one of the cooler guys that I know. Don't tell him I said that. One of the cooler guys that I know. I've actually learned a lot from this guy, but, and I don't want to butcher anything, so I'm gonna keep it really top, but he, army guy, did a bunch of tours overseas, came back, became a cop, was a cop in Seattle area, through the whole, you know, crazy stuff that was going on in Seattle. Then from, you know, the protests and different things.
Well, we had COVID plus we had,
had everything.
Everything that was happening.
Remember, I'm a Florida guy. So you guys, we were basically living in different countries because.
Yes, you were.
When I looked outside, we had 3 weeks of like, you know, shut down to slow the spread or whatever that was. And I'll be honest with you. Please, for anybody it really affected, like, I feel for you. And like, I can't imagine having to go through what, like yourself, like what you had to go through. But for us, it just meant there was no traffic. I could go order food. It was beautiful. It was like being on vacation. And so, we were living in different countries. And anyway, Greg was a cop during this entire time. He did not agree with the orders that were coming down from the top, made a video from a squad car in uniform saying, "Hey, I'm not going to do this. Everybody else in a uniform, if you do this, know what you are subscribing to. And if you believe in what you took an oath for and who you are as a person, you shouldn't do these things and you shouldn't enforce these things." Well, his department originally gave him kind of like, you know, a lot of guys were like, Greg. And then
we're on your team.
The video took off. And then I have no idea how many views it got, but
it went viral.
Yeah, big time. And then the mood changed and it was no longer like, "Hey, Greg, cool." It was like, "Hey, you got to take that down." And so he's like, I can't do his story justice. And I always recommend, you know, go listen to Greg's show or whatever thing you do, because, you know, he's got a cool show too. And
absolutely.
Let him tell it, hit the story or whatever. Cause I can't give it credit, but basically, you know, it came down to him thinking to himself and looking at his family going, "If I succumb to this,
walk back on this,
what will my kids think of me? What will my family, what are the people around me think of me? Like, I can't do this." And he didn't basically, you know, flip the switch like, "Hey, Greg, we're not playing around here. Take it down." He's like, I can't. So, he was, you know, had a
surreptitiously fired.
Correct. Yep. Probably. And I believe he would agree with me. Probably the best thing that ever happened to him. Now he tells guys all the time, like, "Hey, if you're going to, you know," it gave him the ability to go follow his dreams and do what he wants, which is what we get to. He owns a jiu-jitsu academy. Mm-hmm. So he's a black belt for a long time, very big into the jiu-jitsu martial arts type stuff. And so started his jiu-jitsu academy, started a show, you know, his video went viral and he's a popular guy in the interweb. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know who he was. He got a hold of our product. We got connected through a mutual individual from a physician that was offering our products, was recommended to Greg. Greg got a hold of it. He has a show. He said, "Hey, you know, basically, the same thing we do is just, we're not allowed to do business on the internet, basically from a marketing perspective.
That's
so what we do is, we go through guys like yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Who have outreach and followings and shows and stuff,
smart,
the word of mouth." So Greg has a show. "Hey, let's work on a deal here." And he loved the product. He tested it. Which if you know anything about Greg, you know, he is not a guy that does something he don't believe in. Clearly.
He literally
gave up his entire life at that point to do something that he believed in. So from Greg, it just spawned. And the special forces community, the jiu-jitsu community, law enforcement, first responders, that community grabbed us and like, brought us in from a guy who, you know, I couldn't even go to college, let alone join the military or anything like that. I mean, that's, was the furthest thing from what I was doing, and it just spread. And from Greg, it went to other guys. And now it's like all of these different individuals in the special forces community and the, you know, the DOD. I mean, our products were even tested by the FBI in special factions of their teams and they blind tested them and worked with their own teams and did all this cool stuff. I mean, it's like, it's mind blowing because I fought personally, this is me. I take responsibility. I fought advertising on podcasts. I fought trying to be a social media company. It all did it in spite of me. I fought it. I didn't want to do it. And, you know, I'm happy that it
here
went
we are.
Not my yeah. way. And here we are now, you know, a similar story to yourself, right? You get the product. It turns out it actually, you know, you like it. Mm-hmm. And poof, we're sitting here, you know, in an office in right. Tampa.
We were talking about like, you kind of just went through like who's using it, who's yeah. consuming it and how it's getting out. Yeah. You talked about the physicians and you talked about this other side. I mean, it's really, really popular in the BJJ community sure. or fight community as
for
well.
For good reason.
So let's talk about that.
Yes.
Yeah. Why?
Well, so when you are— Not
beyond the marketing piece. Like
100%.
Why is it good for them?
No, here's why it works and why it's— Listen, our products are not for everybody. They do not work for everyone. No product works for everybody.
It's good you know that.
Yeah. Like, like whether it's testosterone, whether it's thyroid medication, whether it's blood pressure meds, whether it's anything, there is no magic bullet out there. And this is from a guy who pays my bills selling this stuff, right? There's no magic bullet. Okay. So it doesn't work for everybody. But the reason why it works for the individuals that do is because some of these individuals have lived their lives in extreme high stress levels, whether it's a pro fighter, whether it's an operator, right, in the military who's spent however many years overseas, who's mm-hmm. taken, we have a physician in Texas who's a veteran, and he's like, man, I have no idea all the stuff they injected me with, but I've never been the same since, right? And he has a clinic out in Texas. His name's Steve Martinez. Go check him out. But it's the same thing. You live in this high-stress environment, okay? Stress breeds and creates a hormone called cortisol. Mm-hmm. Cortisol is the arch-villain of testosterone.
The antithesis, growth hormone. Yeah.
Correct. Right. Now, it has its place mm-hmm. and you need it from a survival aspect. Even when you wake up in the morning. When you wake up right in the morning, typically cortisol is released because it wakes you up. It gets you going.
It's okay? what you're feeling after a solid workout too.
Yeah, if you were, you know, cortisol basically tells your body, it puts it into fight or flight.
Let's go.
You're getting chased by a lion, however thousand many years ago, cortisol is going to get spiked, not testosterone, right? So it tells your body, let's move, let's go. It pulls energy sources from the most nutrient dense parts of your body, lean muscle mass, okay? So cortisol is the villain of growth hormone. When you are living in a heightened state of stress overseas, you're deployed, you're getting shot at however many, whether you're in New Orleans, right. whether you're in, you know, Iraq or Afghanistan, you're getting shot at, you're living in that, or you're a pro fighter. You're living in a high stress environment for a prolonged period of time, which your body is not designed to do. So when cortisol is constantly at an elevated level, it decreases and suppresses your natural hormone function like testosterone, growth hormone, et cetera. That's why when these guys go, especially pro fighters, and people wouldn't think this, but pro fighters notoriously can have very low hormone levels. And it's because their training regimens, and I'm comfortable saying this, I train with them every week, all the time. It's one of my favorite places to be. Notoriously overtrainers. They just can't help themselves.
Yep.
And they train more at longer periods of time. And if you haven't, I'm sure a lot of guys have, especially listening to this show. If you've never wrestled or fought a human being at 100%, you don't know what stress is like in human stress. You can do whatever workout you want to do. Wrestling and fighting a human being that's going 100% against you and you're 100% against them is a very different experience. That level of stress at long periods of time will destroy your natural hormone function.
Yeah, the interesting part about it is a lot of guys are just chasing that. They want to feel that all the time, right?
Well, that's which, a whole other thing about people. Thing, I get it. Right? I get it. There is a weird thing, and I understand that because I was a guy that, again, I didn't have any experience in any of these communities before the business brought me in, and now I've been training, you know, fighting, MMA, wrestling, jiu-jitsu for quite some time. And it is an addictive, you have to have that type of personality of like kind of that pain cave type thing. Yeah. It's weird. But again, those types of levels, long periods of time, are going to destroy your body's ability to secrete your testosterone, your growth hormone. So when you're living like that, and then that becomes the new normal, because it doesn't just magically go away because you get shipped home, right? It's there. Then you have the mental stress of whatever happened, which is a whole other thing. You have the cognitive function. And a lot of people don't know that growth hormone deficiency is actually expressed very much in anxiety, depression, cognitively. So it's completely overlooked. So when you live like that, and then you're able to take a product, whether it's ours or something else, that it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to take it and you're going to blow through this wall like right. the Kool-Aid guy or turn into Brock Lesnar tomorrow. It's that it's at least getting you back up to how you should normally feel optimally and feel good. You're not used to that. So like with these guys, it's like a light switch gets flipped on. And then that's what the power is. That's why it's so effective. That's why it's so powerful. We don't have the ability, like a synthetic drug by design, to put you into that abnormal space. You know, as cool as it is, if you want those things, go, you know, go do, there's plenty of other products out there. That's not what we do. We want you, we're not trying to even help you live to 200 years old. We just want you to be the guy you're supposed to be. We want you to bring back some of that, you know, that vigor, that life, the feeling, the look that you at least had or that you want to be. And that's what the power of the product has been. And I believe truly that that is why the product has spread so fast without the help of, the internet, the Meta guys and different right. things like that, which hopefully we will. Well, that's a big deal, man. I mean, that's tough.
Interesting way of putting that, the help. That's the opposite. They're blocking you.
Fair.
Yeah.
I'm a positive guy. I play the cards. But
people listening to the show understand all about that because, you know, if you're playing the firearms world at all, like
sure.
instruction and any of that kind of stuff, it is very, very hard.
Yep. And now people, you know, that's kind of your main mode of marketing and getting your name and product out there. And luckily we do so in a great way from an organic perspective. I mean, we do utilize their systems and their, mm-hmm. their products from an organic side.
Yep.
Maybe one day we'll figure out, you know, the paid side and stuff like that, or they'll, you know, throw us a bone here and there hopefully soon. But that's why I believe we've grown this brand as fast as we had, the BioPro brand in what I would consider a very short period of time. I mean, the type of growth that we've had in less than 3 years or right around 3 years is, I would consider it exceptional. I think some people would agree with me, but I'm just a lucky guy in the right spot, found the right product and had the right help from guys that, got us off the ground.
So another question would be just going back to, You mentioned the term light switch.
Yeah.
And so I think you have to have, number one, you have to have reached this point where sure. you know you're not feeling the yeah. way you like you were feeling before you have felt in the past.
100%.
And so when I ask like, who's this, it appears, you know, when you look, you just mentioned like the SF guys, the first responders, the fighters and things like that. It looks like it's more for these people that are kind of at these extreme ends of things.
Fair.
It looks like that. Here's my take on that. And that is, it's like, it's those guys that are more in touch with the fact that they don't feel right. And they've also been more in touch with what it does feel like to do hard things when it feels better or when you feel better. You've done something hard. You know what it feels like to recover from that, feel better, continue to advance or, you know, move forward with things. And so, again, for that population of people, sure. this makes a lot of sense. And it's probably the thing that also gets them to go, wait a minute though. Like, is this placebo? Like, what am I really feeling better or not? Because I went through that too.
Yeah.
And it was because I was shocked. I was like, whoa, this is different. And I've done lots of things.
Sure.
Right? You know,
I get it.
Things. And so I understand how those things impact me. And I think a lot of that population has tried and failed at different things as well. And so I think that's why that light switch goes on for them. What are the things that somebody that maybe doesn't have that kind of a meter or a dial to understand? What are maybe some of the things that you would have people look out for in terms of how do they know if it's working or not?
So the number one thing that people, and this is anecdotally like, but it is almost without question, it happens most of the time. I mean, it is constant, is 10 to 14 days. People typically have a sense of energy and a drive and an internal motivation that they were not used to feeling much anymore. We had a guy one time that called into the offices because he was so concerned because he was a very, let's just say pessimistic guy. And he lived in Chicago and he called in. Spoke to somebody and was like, hey, I want to make sure I'm all right because I feel very different. So clearly it's like, okay, what did you take? Nothing. I just started taking the products, but I woke up today and I looked out the window, Chicago in the winter. And he was like, today's going to be a great day. And he was like, whoa, I never say that. And it's not that he took the product and got all big muscles and he ran a 5 minute mile. It was simply because he now felt better internally, cognitively, mm-hmm. that it was a game changer for him. And you'll find that most of the stories that we actually get are less about, hey, I'm a world champion now. Very few. God, clearly there's very few world champions of anything, but more of, I feel better. I have more energy. I'm better, a better person to be around. I get more things done. Mm-hmm. One of the best testimonials we have is from a world champion. His name's Eric Raposo. He's a jiu-jitsu world champion type guy, friend of jiu-jitsu. Maybe you know, maybe you don't, mm-hmm. whatever. And so, you know, it's no secret to anybody. We send, you know, products out to different athletes and stuff to test. And, you know, we want, you know, help us promote, do those things. That's the only way we get the word out. We are not allowed to do other things. So, you know, his testimonial comes back and I was speaking to him and he's like, hey, Dustin, you know, I got to tell you, man, this was a really great experience, thinking, oh, it's because he won his last championship. Wrong. His wife told him he had become a better father. There's a reason for that. He wasn't a better parent. What was happening was from a guy that is we'll call him a high level professional athlete. It's what jiu-jitsu is, his sport. It's how he makes his money. He has an academy. He teaches at academy and he
competes
and gets money for competing. Exhausted, high stress levels all the time. Comes home, passes out.
Nothing left in the tank.
No kid time. He started realizing this is very common. Stop skipping his afternoon nap. So when he's done with jiu-jitsu and he's done with his gym, he comes home, he's been hanging out with his kids. And so it wasn't about a 5 minute mile. It wasn't about a 500 pound squat. It was about an extra hour with his kids and him enjoying it and being present. And that's a very common thing, right? Is we love the stories of physiological change. They're sexy. They sell. But realistically, the type of testimonials that come back are improvements of life. Not the squats, the running, the jiu-jitsu, the MMA, the tactical stuff is cool. It looks cool. It videos great. Mm-hmm. But those aren't actually always the testimonials. It's the normal guy, regardless if they're a special forces guy, regardless if they're a jiu-jitsu guy, regardless if they're an accountant in two offices over.
Right?
It's the ability for them to feel and perform. And when I say perform, I mean collectively. I don't mean the physical stuff.
All aspects
of life. And it's not that this is just a magic product, but people just don't realize the rate of decline and what their bodies are doing internally. And that's why you get this kind of midlife, I believe this is a personal opinion, but you get a lot of this midlife crisis type stuff is like, man, I'm just not the guy anymore. And then what we spoke about previously, which was like grasping at different things, mm-hmm. to try and fill those gaps. Now, I believe specifically in certain things that can actually fill those gaps, not my product included, but you know, things like what we do can also help you just feel better. Mm-hmm. So it's an overall quality of life type stuff. And that's when the switches get flipped. And that's when the faces light up. And that's why the product has the power that it has. And I'm just grateful realistically to be a part of it. I'm not necessarily the guy that had to wake up like that, right? Like I started taking our own formulas before I ever even owned the company in 2014. We're talking like 10 years ago, because I was a performance guy and I loosely understood, mm-hmm. you know, what it was doing and stuff like that. And I was bought from that point. So whether it's because I, you know, get high on my own supply or whatever, I don't necessarily have those same types of issues. Yep. So when all these other guys come in and they're like, oh man, it did this and this, it's like, dude, this is the greatest thing that ever happened.
I think the switch going on and understanding things, we've said this on the show before, it comes up quite frequently, is that people don't actually know how healthy feels.
100%.
And so they're skeptical,
sure.
or maybe even pessimistic, when all of a sudden they feel something that feels much, much different in a very positive way.
Yeah.
And again, going back, they can't exactly put their finger on it. They don't know. But and at the same time, it's not what you see in the mirror. It's what you feel on the inside,
yep.
right? And what shows on the outside, going back to the fighter the BJJ guy with his wife,
yep.
who said, there's a noticeable difference in you. This is what it is. And you might not even be putting the pieces together. And I think that's health, fitness, wellness in general.
Sure.
This is just one of those puzzle pieces to help all that be better. That is this being the product, BioPro. And again, so if you haven't been in a situation where you've kind of reached that point yet, I can see from looking from the outside, looking in, going, yeah, but you can't measure that. You can't measure being a better dad, right? Yeah. You can't, it's not up to you to measure for me anyways, but you can't measure that. If I can, then it means something, right? You can't measure the fact that you know your sex drive's gone way up, yeah. right? That kind of thing. And you can't measure the results of that in terms of how that impacts your relationship. And you can't show it on internet, right? You can talk about it. And if you're talking about it on the internet, then there's going to be questions about it. Like, dude, you're talking about it on the internet. This sounds weird.
Sure.
Like it sounds like you're trying to sell something. Well, maybe I am. I'm just trying to give you the good word of like of what's happening. But I think that, like, we're in this place in the universe where you either look at the internet or what you're hearing or seeing in one of two ways. It's either really good or it's really bad. There's no in between. People try to finish the story, and it's always, well, this is a really good person trying to do a really good thing, or this is a really bad person trying to do a really bad thing.
Yeah.
It really isn't anything in the middle. And so I see where people could be skeptical or where they could be pessimistic, but I think you just mentioned it with regard to how fast it took off, and that it's the other people talking about it, right? And they're just talking about it. That's all they're doing. This is not like a paid marketing plan, like through Meta and all this
people
other stuff.
People would be shocked at how many people we don't pay. I'll just say that.
I think this is important to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's no shock. Like, people get paid to do stuff on the internet, right? People make millions and millions of dollars. We haven't had to do much of that. So it's like, I'm telling you, and this is, I can't say anything more than I'm just being in the right place, the right time, and the right, like, being very lucky, because we've been able to grow very quickly and grow as a pro. Like, we don't have outside money. There's no VCs involved. It's wholly privately owned by myself and one other person. We own the holding company that owns, you know, the brand and has created the products and basically had to clean everything up and do all this stuff. There's no, like, mastermind behind all this stuff, like, pumping funds into this. This business is a self-funded. It is a profit for, you know, it is a for-profit venture. I mean, it's not a charity, but it's a profitable thing. Part of the reason we've been able to maintain that and grow and continue to reinvest in all of the things that we were doing is because we haven't actually had to spend money on, we do spend money on marketing, but comparatively to the industry standard, we spend peanuts. And it's like, why? I mean, it's the only thing I can attribute it to is the efficacy of the product, because otherwise we would be getting crushed.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You'd
crushed.
You'd be gone by now.
And it's not to say that we don't have individuals that are haters on the product.
Maybe
you have
the medical side of things, maybe, because the doctors.
The medical's always been actually quite strong.
Yeah, if the doctor says, then the
patient
does.
But I think that's part of the success behind it is, you know, you might see a video of me here and there, you know, saying something on the internet, but it's very few and far between. One of the things that I hated about social media and why I wanted to fight it so bad was because I can't stand social media. I think it can be used, like you said, for very good things, and it can be used for extremely insidious,
nefarious,
awful,
things.
Evil stuff. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to be a, you know, social media hard sell, funnels blowing up in your face, blah, blah. I didn't want to do that. That's not who I am. That's never been who I am. And I hated that about that. So, like, when the social media thing started taking off, I thought that that's where it had to go. And I thought, cause I didn't have any, I never made money on the internet. Like, I didn't. So, I thought that's where it had to go. And I was terrified of that. I didn't want to do it. And it kind of took on its own thing. So I have done everything I can to not allow it now to go to those places. We've had people that have used, you know, that have made videos for us or testimonials or different athletes and stuff that we have never used. And for the sense of, like, I got the video, I saw it, and I go, no way, no way. I don't believe you. I don't believe what you're like saying. It's not authentic. It's not genuine. We don't work with people who don't actually love, believe, and support the product, right? Whether they're, you know, compensated for what they do or whether they're not. I mean, we have been very, very, we've been very, I hate to continue to use the word lucky, because I don't believe that it's luck, but we've been very fortunate is the word that I would like to use. Very fortunate that we've been able to grow so fast, partly because we don't have to spend all our money on marketing. We've been able to reinvest, build the right teams, the right systems, the right, I mean, we are doing so much in the background to fortify the brand and the company. We're US based, right? This isn't like, we're not putting a funnel on the internet and this stuff's, you know, you buy it and it shows up in 3 weeks from China and being shipped over, right? We do everything we could possibly do, literally, you know, less than a mile, maybe a couple miles from exactly where we're sitting right. Like right now we're in offices in a, in a sales office and stuff like that, for whether it's the fulfillment of the product. We own the fulfillment. We own the warehouse. We have the offices there. The customer service, it ain't overseas. It's in the offices. It's a guy. His name's Jack, by the way. He runs it. He's a great kid. I mean, he's too smart. Is the, you know, I'm terrified because he's too smart. So it's hard to keep those guys sometimes. But you know, if it's manufacturing, it's right down the street.
Right here.
Even the paper products.
In the US.
Paper products manufactured right here, right down the road. The glass, right here, the United States. It's actually California, but right here in the United States, like we keep things here as best as we can. And we are constantly, you know, right now I'm talking to you and doing this stuff, which is my part of the job. My business part of the job is my business partner's part of the job is, you know, the smarter part. He's, vertical integration, raw material supply. How do we do this better? Clinical stuff, like clinical trials, different things like that. At the exact same time, you know, I get to have the fun and throw a microphone on and talk to dudes like you and go to dinners. So, that's just who we are. That's what we believe in. And it's been, I think, our biggest asset, because we don't have anybody telling us what to do. We can do whatever we with an, I mean, I'm saying this, but we still are under regulations of FDA regulations and different things. But we can do what we want when we want, within regulation. And I think it's been our biggest asset and why we're able to grow at the rate that we are and continue to do that.
Yeah, it's interesting the way you've sort of penetrated the markets, but it's also interesting that when I look out there, I don't see anybody else out there doing anything like this. And that includes what you just mentioned there in terms of how you structured your business. Because if they're out there and people know about them, they probably had to make some compromise.
Sure.
And spend a lot of money.
The first compromise that you will always make in this type of business is quality of product. Mm-hmm. So anytime a VC comes in and you're going to sell out to the suits that come down from New York or wherever they are,
they're going to source it cheaper.
Correct. Because it's no longer, they don't care. I'm not going to say they don't care because I don't know them. And I hate to make assumptions about people anywhere.
But, I'll say it.
Okay.
I know what they care about and that's not the priority.
Yeah, and we, like I said, we are for profit. We don't hide that. We are a business. We have mouths to feed. Everybody's got the guys that work for us got families, got car payments. It's a, you know, it is what it is. But the first thing that happens when VCs get involved is manufacturing. Where are the products coming from? How is it done? Blah, blah, blah. Now, that doesn't mean the standards of cleanliness or certifications from the actual fills come in. It starts further than that, from raw material sourcing, supply, et cetera. And that typically is the first thing to leave the United States. It goes overseas and there's a lot of different things that get balled up into that, which we don't want to participate in. And because we don't participate in it, what we do is extremely more expensive. So in the normal industry where... I don't want to get into actual figures, but let's say we are hundreds and hundreds of percent more expensive from a manufacturing cost, from the raw material to the extraction to everything from the packaging to the fill to the glass we use, everything. It's extremely more expensive to the point where if other people were probably trying to get into the business and do what we do, they probably would not do it because it doesn't make sense from a dollars and cents perspective.
Right.
But we don't operate our business that way. We don't worry about the dollars and cents from the start. I never was in business like that. I focused on quality of, and I teach this to small business guys a lot, is finding the perfect product that works, that people want, that they care about, blah, blah, blah. Because you can sell it, you can get it into the market, and then you worry about shoring up and fixing, from a dollars and cents perspective, the bottom line later. But you don't do it backwards. Mm-hmm. That's a personal, I'm not saying everybody does business like that. That's a personal thing of mine, because I find that the success is faster. I can sleep at night. My conscience is clear. Mm-hmm. And those things mean a lot to us, that we have full control. We know what we're doing. I don't want to lose sleep at night. The only time I lose sleep at night is the internet stuff. I have websites going down. Like, I can't handle those things. But I don't ever lose sleep at night about quality of product, what we're giving people, the efficacy of it, because I know every part about it. And we are willing to spend what we spend. Because if we didn't, the first thing that would do, it probably wouldn't work the same. And I can pretty much assure you of that. And then the second thing is, like, I can't guarantee anything. I can't guarantee who's touching it, who's stepping on it, who's doing all these things. It's just, we would just be a sales company and we'd send you something and, you know, you might buy a month and we're like, oh, we got that guy and move on and you probably never be back. But that's not our business. Our business guys hang on to our product. I mean, in business, you have what's called customer lifetime value, CLVs. Our CLVs are, people are blown away because we still utilize agencies and they look in and we have consultants and blah, blah, blah. They're blown away by the customer lifetime value of our clients. And it's because it's not hard if the product actually does what it says it's going to do, and we're very clear about what we do. We don't make drastic, wild claims. We tell you what it does. We tell you how the science works. It's up to you of whether it's a good fit, because it's not a good fit for everyone. Mm-hmm. If it's a good fit for you, what you're looking for, what your goals are. And so it's very easy to actually to do business because I don't have to worry about anything.
That's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing business with you.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. That's at the end of the day, exactly what you said right there. I think this, for people listening to this, that listen to this show, and a lot of what gets talked about is, you know, coming up with products that people don't need and selling them stuff that they don't need. And that it goes deeper than the product. It goes back to the people who are selling them those things. And it's the influencer. It's not the end user is making a decision. You have this big company X out there who produces this product, and you got this influencer here that everybody, you know, seems to like or whatever, and has, again, quote unquote, influence.
Sure.
And they say, this is a great product and here's why, yet they don't use it. They don't know where it came from. They don't care, but they're getting paid. And then that consumer in the end, who's maybe just entered into the market or, you know, doesn't know any better, or is just making frivolous, maybe buying decisions or whatever. That's what I was saying at the top of the hour. I think people are getting, they're wisening up to, I want to know where this comes from. There's a lot of stir actually while this is being recorded. There's a very heavy influencer in the firearms training distribution of equipment space right now who is pointing fingers. People know, I won't use his name, but pointing fingers at some very specific products that come out of China. And, you know, what are you contributing to there? And he's taking a very hard line on some stuff and people are, you know, kind of upset about it. But the point of this is it's people are becoming more aware of where stuff is coming from.
Yeah.
And they want to know, like they want to know. At the same time, they've recognized that that is a slippery slope. Like once you talked about building the business from one end versus the other end. Because if you start at the other end, you're probably going to go through China somewhere down the line. 100%. China's going
to
come up.
Some things you have to go overseas. Totally. I'm not saying, you know, there are raw materials even that we use that you cannot actually, they don't make them in the United States.
People need to know this.
They don't make them here.
Yeah, got it.
For whatever reason that it is. But
about the relationship that you have with the person or with the product and the people behind the product. And I think that's becoming less novel and more apparent, both on the business end and on the consumer end. People are starting to realize that, like, there's a face behind this stuff, and who is that person? I'll just be upfront. Are they a piece of shit? Are they, how American are they? You know, in some sense or another, you know, at the same time. So, I guess one of the questions that actually came up, we're going to answer this, and I didn't think to ask it earlier, but I went, should somebody that, like, a law enforcement first responder, or we talked about government, you know, agencies or things like that, should they be worried about things that may come up on a blood test or anything like that? I think that's an important thing to know.
Yes. So we've worked with tons of, I mean, countless at this point, veterans, first responders, even within the government themselves, right? We have worked with the FBI on some stuff. It's, you know, very specific factions of them. The product cannot pop a drug test. And the reason being is part of the beauty of it. What we are doing is we are extracting growth factors from another mammal. Okay. So those growth factors are molecularly identical to what your body produces. They're just proteins. They're protein amino acids. We're not replacing the hormone. We're not manipulating the glandular function like a synthetic peptide or a synthetic. Okay. So when you inject a synthetic hormone, you are replacing the hormone that exists. Now, when you do that, there's all kinds of issues, whether it's natural hormone suppression or whatever, but it also has the ability to put you into an abnormal space where your blood panels will be through the roof, right?
Yeah.
You can take a ton of testosterone. It can throw you way into... that's how people would get caught for doing blood panels. We don't have that ability to put you into an abnormal space. But secondly, there's not a urine test or a blood test that can ever check for what we are doing, because it's a naturally occurring substance, right? You... you can't test for it. That's where we fall into gray areas with some of the, you know, the pro fighters and stuff like that, because it's not explicitly banned, but it's not necessarily, you know, it's a newer thing. We haven't had any issues yet, especially with drug testing in the military. Not one even question. Nothing has ever happened. We've never had an issue with that. And I wouldn't be concerned with it. Again, I like to have a clear conscience. I can sell a lot of stuff, and I would never want to sell something to someone that could potentially, I got a lot of buddies that still play football, and, you know, they get paid per game. And if I were to ever get, you know, somebody, you know, lose one of their game checks, which is a significant, you know, amount of cash, I wouldn't be able to personally sleep at night. I take things almost to my own, you know, problem. I take things way too personal, and I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. I it would cause havoc. So I don't want to do those things. I am completely comfortable, always have been, with this product being in the hands of, you know, DOD, military, law enforcement personnel, because there's no drug test to be concerned about, nor is it a banned substance. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, because I just mentioned football and I mentioned some other things. Technically, it is a banned substance via the NFL and Major League Baseball.
How do you mean?
The raw materials that we're sourcing and the products that are being used are not allowed in the NFL specifically. So if you're, does it show up in a drug test? No, but, it is not allowed to be used.
Okay.
Period. It is a banned substance. I don't know if the NHL is, it's been years since I've been involved in professional sports, but you know, to be fair, that does show some credence of it. Kind of, it works. You know
what I mean? Exactly what I was just going to say. I'm like, they don't ban things.
Yeah, they don't ban things that don't work.
That don't work.
Correct. So yeah, that's a whole nother thing.
That, yeah, somebody asked me that, and that's exactly what I told them. So, you know, and they're not NFL or MLB guys. So
there's not much money actually to be made in NFL. You actually spend more money as a company and stuff like that, just for like credibility. It's like sponsoring race cars. Yeah. Like there's no return on your investment. It is simply an ego drive.
Right,
I'm not against it, though. I love car racing.
Just you should go around the track.
Oh, dude, 100%.
Plastered on the wall.
Yes.
What do you want people to know about the product, about the company, and what they can look forward to just kind of in the future?
That we care. We actually do care about the people that use our products and the people that, you know, want to get help from our products. We are the same guys that use the products. We use them. We believe in them. Like, it's a team of guys that do it. I mean, you got two guys that use the products who believe in it so much. You know, I've put my entire life into this company. So we care. We care about you. If you have questions, if you want more information, like, please reach out. You're speaking to a real human being that understands, for the most part, your potential circumstances. And if we can't help you or answer something for you, guess what? We got clinics all over the world at this point that go here. Here's the closest one. What's your zip code? Go talk to them. Go get a physician to take you through their protocol. Do you have to go to a doctor? No. Should you? That's up to you. Are they available to you? 1,000,000%. I have some all over the country that I would personally go see and put my own life in their hands. I'm happy to do that for anybody who is skeptical, who wants to go that route first. Knock yourself out. Please reach out to us. Happy to make the introduction.
I love that. Well, you've helped me so much, you know, and so many people I know in so many ways. And, it, you know, I haven't known you that long, right? It's been long enough, but I haven't known you that long. This has been sort of a treat for me to finally come and meet the dude.
I hope so.
You know, that has helped me. That said, I mean, what can I do to help you?
You're doing it. We just, our entire business and the livelihoods of the individuals that work with us and on our team are dependent upon getting the word of the product out there. That's exactly what you do. That's exactly, you know, what our relationship was created for and to do those things. And it's happy to continue to spawn and to grow from there. But the word of mouth is everything. If you use the product, if guys listen to your show or gals use the product, tell your friends, tell your, you know, family. We are limited in our ability to get the word out. So those types of things are very impactful to the people that work for us, work with us, count on us. So that's a really big deal.
Good. And just kind of in finishing it up, like, where do they go to find out more?
Oh man. The website is a great place to start. We just redid it. You know, it works faster. It works
you
easier.
Told me, yeah, you told me this last night, and I haven't actually been on the new website.
It's completely, the internet business is a wild place. I didn't, you know, grow up in the internet business. I had to learn it, you know, in the heat of moment of all that kind of crazy stuff we talked about last night. But just redid the website, super clean, super easy, super great.
Cool.
Bioproteintech.com, bioproteintech.com. Instagram is really where we live. You can see people that use the products. You can see you're on there. You can see normal guys, from normal guys to pros to, there's no hard pushes. We don't do hard sales. Here's the information. Here's what it did for them. You know, do your due diligence. Ask us any questions that you like. That's Bioprotein Tech. Same thing at bioproteintech. Come say hello. Come follow us and come be part of the team, BioPro.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think you got a pretty strong team, as you mentioned, like internally, but you're starting to see the people on the outside. I mean, there's a pretty good stable of people out there, and there's kind of something for everybody, I think, too, which is very interesting now. But especially for those dudes, you know, out there that are in that age bracket or whatever.
Not like, even the age bracket, man. Just like the world is so different now, where I would have said, hey, we don't market to people under 35. Man, it's just so different with the rate of hormone decline. Scientifically has been proven. I mean, dudes who are 20 have the same hormone level now as a guy from 60, who's 67 year old from the year 2000. So now it's a, how do you feel? What's going on internally? How's your, you know, your internal motivation, drive, whatever. So like I said, man, we're just trying to help dudes get their lives back.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing. Thanks for joining me today.
And, thanks for visiting. I mean, you flew down here to come hang out with me. Yeah, I mean, that's
been a good time.
Dude, wild.
You fed me a great dinner. We had a great conversation.
I had to. That's one of my favorite restaurants, dude.
It was fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah, you've helped me with my health and my life in more ways than one. So I appreciate you for that. And I look forward to getting this episode out there for people to listen to. It's been a long time coming. I've had a lot of questions. When are you going to have what are you going to talk about bioprotein?
No, well, that's crazy. That's flattering though.
No, yeah. Really? When are you going to have the episode? I've just been telling him like, hey.
Oh, wow. All right.
It's going to happen. I'm waiting on it. I will not do this one remote. I have to meet Dustin in person. And when we can make that happen, it will come out. So hopefully this one answers a lot of their questions.
It's a pleasure's all mine. I mean, I still can't believe anybody even cares enough to fly here and hang out with me. So like, it's still mind blowing every time. So thank you for your time, Scott, and your investment in us, really.
One of the things I like about you the most is your humbleness, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Iron Sights. If you enjoyed our conversation, you can support our mission by hitting the subscribe button, leaving a review, and sharing the podcast with a friend. I'll see you on the next episode.